all of my bits and pieces. Well, let's start. It's 10:30. We're going to start. So I might get you to just turn off your mic and your video, and then that way we can save the bandwidth just in case, and then you've got the power to turn your mic on again if you need to. So welcome back to Dharma in Pajamas, and the topic for this morning is how all good things come from the guru. So a little bit about guru devotion and what a guru is, who the guru is really, because I know there's quite a lot of confusion in the West. There's a lot of misunderstandings about guru devotion, and we tend to jump to conclusions just because we might have some bad cultural experiences in the past. We also forget about guru devotion, and we really underestimate the power of it, and we forget that it's guru devotion and understanding who the guru is that's the main thing that propels us to enlightenment. So it's we can't miss out on it, and yet everyone gets stuck on it. So you know, the guru in Sanskrit, lama in Tibetan, meaning heavy in virtue or heavy in quality, is incredibly important, virtuous, kind, and heavy in a particular kind of quality, the quality of being able to lead us to enlightenment. And a guru cares for you more than you even care for yourself. So we might think that we care for ourselves, but so much of what we do is really destructive. It harms us. Whereas a guru is always on our side, even when we're not, even when we're being self-destructive. So often the guru is called the virtuous friend. I like to think of the guru as my very best friend. So when I was growing up a Buddhist, and behind me, Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe would come to my mother's house, and I just thought the lamas, I thought they were just the most amazing people in the whole world. They were like my mother and my father and my grandparents all rolled into one. That feeling whenever I see them of meeting your most best friend. But what we've got to remember is that the guru is not the person of the guru, and this is what we forget, that the guru is much more than the person, than the face of the guru. How you can kind of think about it is the face of the guru, or the person of the guru, is like the interface between us and all the aspects of guru, Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. So that kind of the person of the guru is like an expression of who the guru really is, but it's not who the guru is just as a person. Because, you know, people are born, they're little kiddies, they grow up, they manifest sickness, aging and death. But that's just the person that's manifesting that. We're a bit alienated from who the guru really is, so we need that interface of a person to reconnect. So I'll give you an idea of the different aspects of the guru. I mean, our first connection with the guru is with the person of the guru, and that's like our hook. It's like we're hooked with the hook of compassion from the guru, and we have to be open for the hook to come in and grab us. So in the Gold Prayer Book, on page 125 is the long version of calling the guru from afar. And I'll give you a few examples of all the different types. So we've got what's called the Namanakaya, which is kind of the person. And let me just find which one. And then we have the Sambhogakaya, which is how we begin to relate to the guru as who they are really. For instance, Tara or Chenrezig or Manjushri. So the verse is, the play of various emanations, like those deities, suiting the dispositions of the many to be subdued. is itself the behavior of the Sambhogakaya of the kind lamas. I beseech you, Lama, Namanakaya, please guide me always without separation in this life, future lives, and the Bardo. So what we have is the Namanakaya aspect, which is the person, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Lama Zopa Mishe, but who that is an emanation of Chenrezig or Tara. So when we think of them, who are they really? They are really Chenrezig, thousand-armed Chenrezig. But can we see thousand-armed Chenrezig in our current karmic state? We can't see. We can't see those light bodies. So then Chenrezig sends out countless emanations, one of them being His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And then that way we can make that connection, or the Lama can make that connection with us. But it's even more than that, because there's the other verse. Wisdom's own illusory appearance, the conqueror with seven branches, is itself the ultimate basis of all kind lamas. I beseech you, Lama Sambhogakaya, please guide me always without separation in this life, future lives, and the Bardo. So that's all of the tantric deities, all of the whole spectrum of the rainbow of enlightenment. And where does that come from? The Dharmakaya, the wisdom of great bliss of all the Buddhas, one taste with the Dharmakaya, is itself the ultimate nature of all kind lamas. I beseech you, Lama Dharmakaya, please guide me always without separation in this life, future lives, and the Bardo. So the ultimate guru is the Dharmakaya. And what's the Dharmakaya? It's that clarity of the Buddha's mind, the clarity of your own mind, no separation. So there's a way that we can kind of think about the clarity of the natural goodness or the natural clarity of our mind, of the Buddha's mind, our nature. And that is by thinking of Samantabhadra. So I have this little screen share of Samantabhadra I'll show you. So Samantabhadra, why do all good things come from the guru? Because the guru is all good. And Samantabhadra means that, means always good or all good. So Samantabhadra is depicted here as a Buddha, a naked Buddha, because without conception, without any elaborations of this or that reality, just that primordial purity of the mind. And blue like space, unobstructed infinite space. So all of the good things arise from the Dharmakaya. But it's something that we're veiled from, we're obstructed. And so then we need these different aspects of the guru to lead us there. So I'll give you an example of some different ways that we can think of the guru, because often we might think it's about blind obedience. And especially in the West, we feel really quite bad about that because there's so much corruption around. So it's not about that. There's nothing blind about it at all. It's more like the kind of relationship that we have with a coach or a mentor. So it's quite well established that if you're going to learn a skill like playing the piano or swimming and winning the Olympics or playing tennis or even learning to drive a car, you need someone to show you how to do it. You need a coach. You can't just learn it from a book. If I learned to drive just from a book, I'm sure you wouldn't feel very comfortable on the road if I was there. You know, we can do a lot of preparation and, you know, background research, but we need someone to show us how to do it. We need a coach. So I kind of like the analogy of a driving instructor, because one, we can't learn it from a book. Another one is that we're a little bit like drunk drivers, aren't we, in our life, where we're drunk with the disturbing emotions. We're driving under the influence and we're driving around up and down through the curvy channels of our life, and we don't really know what's going and we're just kind of hoping for the best. And so if we had a driving instructor with us, they would tell us, slow down, careful, act this way, don't act that way. all of the road signs on the road, you know, they're there to, like the vows, they're there to protect us. And if we have a driving instructor, the best way is to think that, recognize that the instructor knows more than us. So we can't just be like a headstrong teenager that goes, oh, I know how to do everything. We actually have to kind of take some advice from the instructor and learn defensive driving and learn how to be safe, because those things don't come naturally. You know, what comes naturally is putting your brakes on when you're about to skid, and that's the worst thing that you should do. So we need to be taught how to respond in situations. So a coach does that, and the only way that it's going to work is if we trust the coach. How do we trust the coach? Because we figured out they're good at what they do. So the driving instructor has a good driving record. It's not that they've been like picked up for drunk driving 6 times. They themselves have an unblemished record, and we have confidence that they have the skills and they can show us. So when we're looking for a guru, when we're thinking about the guru, that's how we're thinking, that the guru has been where we want to go and knows how to show us and knows what to say, how to lead us, how to protect us. And also, a little bit like a coach, say in boxing. So I've read a huge amount of books for a while about boxing. And boxing, again, it's like we're there in the ring with our disturbing emotions, aren't we? And we're a bit punch drunk. And with boxing, you need a really good coach, because the coach knows at the beginning of the game to get us motivated. And the coach knows to say, maybe the thing that gets us going is being told, oh, you'll never do it. Don't get your expectations too high. And then you go, no, I will. So the coach knows when to say that to get you motivated. And then you're there in the ring, and then maybe you are getting punched out and you've got to call a stop to the game. But everything, if you're a boxer, everything in your whole nervous system, your instinct is just go, go, go. And the coach knows, stop. It's time now. That's enough. And usually the boxer just goes, no, no, I want to keep going. But the coach calls an end to it to protect you. So if you're a good student, you have complete trust in them to know better than you. Sometimes also towards the end of the game, where you might be flagging, the coach will just say those few things to say, you've got this, you can do it. I know you. And just their confidence in you, when you may not have it, gives you that impetus, that determination and courage to go for it. So all of that comes from the coach. We can't do that for ourselves. We kind of think, oh, yeah, I can, well, at least I did, I can do it by myself. But we can't. We to really progress, we need that interaction and that personal guidance. And that's what a guru is. The other thing that's really good to remember, and this is where we can stop that confusion about the guru being the person, of just the person of the guru, that all the guru needs to do is show us the way to enlightenment. Just like all the driving instructor needs to do is teach us how to drive really well. They don't need to teach us how to cook. We don't have to have the same taste in music. They may even be quite socially inept. Doesn't matter if they're the world's best driver, or even if they're the only driving instructor in town, but we don't personally get on with them, it doesn't even matter, because what they show us is exactly what we need to progress. So often we have such high expectations of a guru, and we want to hang out with them, and we want them to like us all the time. And we often people will ask their guru really stupid questions like, what school should I send my kids to? Or should I sell the house? Or should I have a relationship with this person? It's like, that's not what the guru is about. The guru is about showing us how to navigate through life to enlightenment. And all the rest, they're like, whoa, I don't know. And it's just like asking a driving instructor how to cook eggs. So you kind of got to get it clear in our mind, what is what's the purpose here? And then even if the driving instructor isn't so skillful in the rest of his life, say we live in a small town and then the driving instructor goes off the rails, the fact that we learnt to drive from them we continuously benefit. So we may not see that driving instructor anymore because maybe became an alcoholic or whatever, and maybe our time with learning within is finished. But nevertheless, if we can still drive, we still benefit every single day from that teaching. So I found this very useful, that when you hear about the human imperfections of some gurus in the West, not to condone what they've done, but to put it into perspective, that if you actually benefited, like learning to drive, then it's okay. It's not like you find out that the driving instructor did something not so good and you go, right, I'm never driving again. You still keep on driving and you still benefit from that tuition, but you just put them aside for now. So I found that's the way to really navigate around if you have problems with a guru, to really keep in mind what it is that we are seeking a guru for, which is enlightenment for ourselves and others. That's the main thing. So all good things come from the guru if we have that really healthy guru-disciple relationship. I'll also tell you a little bit of a story about what happened to me with just one story in 2018 in Bendigo, when Lama Zopa Rinpoche was leading the retreat down there, and many of us from Longwy Tampa Center were able to get there. And I'd come to a stage where I had to sell my house. So this house, you know, that I lived in as a teenager, and then my mother ran Langri Tungpa Centre from the lounge room, and then, you know, eventually we found this place a bigger, better building. And so I'd inherited the house, and so I was able to rent the house out and live off the rent, and that way volunteer here at Langri Tungpa Centre. So I was like the world's best landlady, totally hands-off landlady for many years. In fact, a bit of a hopeless landlady. I forgot to check even if there was any rent coming in, and the house started to kind of fall down a bit. And so Venerable Lassam took me in hand and said, Miffy, you've got to do something about the house. You know, either fix it up or sell it, because either way it's not going to be worth anything. So here I was in the retreat just going, this is beyond me. I can't cope with this. I don't have the mental headspace. I don't have the experience. I have such resentment about trying to organize my life in that way. Please, Guru, help me. Please, Tara, help me. So in Bendigo, there was this huge Tara Tanka. It was about 25 meters high. It went right up to the top of the four-story atrium. Enormous. So these huge Taras there looking down on us. And I was just praying to Tara, who is the Guru, really. Tara and Guru, no different. Please help me. You've always promised to help people even if they're hopeless, and you know that I'm so hopeless here, and either I look after Langri Tampa Centre or I focus on my house, but I can't do both. I just don't have the mental headspace. Anyway, so what happened? My neighbour next door to the house rang me up and said, have you ever considered selling your house? Because, you know, I'd like to buy it. It's next door. So we kind of negotiated backwards and forwards during the retreat quite nicely, and settled on a price. And he said, you know, like I've seen it, so we don't have to do any inspections. I'll pay cash. And so then on the day that that, you know, he agreed, I was just so happy. It was just such a relief. And that day was the day that Lama Zopa Rinpoche talked about how all good things come from the guru. And I just wanted to stand up at the back and go, hallelujah, I concur. Absolutely, this is exactly what happened. And, you know, it's very rare that we kind of pray like that, from real sincere, honest prayer without any caveats or anything like that. But the story doesn't end there. So then, you know, it was all kind of settled and we were going to go through it. So we have to go through the process. So we got back to Langri Tampa Centre and I'm like, oh, don't you need a solicitor or something. You've got to sign papers. How do you do that? So then someone at Langri Tampa Centre was a solicitor. So she I didn't even have to leave the house. In fact, she came to Lungri Tungpa Centre and I signed the documents in my pyjamas. I didn't even have to get out of my pyjamas because she said, oh, yeah, I've been driving past there for ages. Oh, I always wanted to see what it was like inside. So she came with all the papers and I signed them all and off she went. And there you go. How extraordinary was that? Then I was free, thank goodness. And it all happened the moment I did that prayer. Then just another little kind of sideways story about that too, that then for the last few years I've been really thinking that we should have our classes online. You know, that there's so many people that can't come to the centre physically and they miss out on classes. And it's crazy to think that we're just having classes for just who's there in the room. We're a global society now. But, you know, that fell into that category of important but not urgent. So just get bumped down the line, bumped down the line. And then at the beginning of this year, I really had this thought, please, Guru, help me for this to happen because it's so overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. And so how this whole coronavirus lockdown started for us was that we were all booked to go to Bendigo for the next retreat. And before the lockdown, before the WHO had said that there was a global pandemic, anything like that, Lama Zopa Rinpoche sent out an email to everybody saying, the virus is spreading, it's spreading very, very quickly, we'll cancel the retreat. And because we were going to be away at retreat, I'd scheduled 5 weeks of other people teaching, not me. And now the retreat is finished and now I've got 5 weeks free to be able to learn how to put classes online, to just be able to have this deep dive in and tackle the technology with no other distractions. And because we closed the centre, then no other people. It was just like a coronavirus retreat for me, a technological retreat. So the timing couldn't have been better. There's no way in the world that we would have been able to do this so smoothly, go from live classes to online classes without a break, without missing one class. There's no way I would have had the time or the inclination or anything like that. And yet we just went in and here we are. Here you are. Also, thanks to the kindness of the Guru. And so now there are so many classes online. There's an explosion of Dharma everywhere. So this terrible thing that's happened in the world has had this equally amazing opportunity arise. FPMT put on so many courses now completely for free online. There's all these video archives. So, the story of the benefits of the Guru just continues. Then I have another little screen share for you. I'll just get to that one. So here's Samanta Bhadra. And I kind of like the name Samanta Bhadra because here's another one of the Guru. So the prayer, Guru is Buddha, Guru is Dharma, Guru is Sangha also. Guru is the creator of all goodness and happiness. To all gurus, I go for refuge. So I love this photograph of Lama Zopa Rinpoche because there's another way we can say this. Guru is Buddha, Guru is Dharma, Guru is Santa also. Guru is the creator of all goodness and happiness. To all gurus, I go for refuge. So Santa is like the common colloquial way of saying Samanta Bhadra, who made countless offerings, emanated offerings, filling all of space. So Samanta Bhadra is like the Buddha Santa, and so is the Guru. I've got a little thing to read to you from Lama Zopa Rinpoche about the Guru as well. By seeing the Guru as Buddha, one is able to correctly follow the guru with thought and action. Our lazy mind makes it so difficult to follow the guru's advice, even though doing so is the quickest way to achieve enlightenment. By seeing the guru as all the Buddhas and remembering the guru's kindness, which is like the limitless sky, you are most happy to follow the advice because you see its importance and the great benefits it brings. By offering service to the guru, you receive more merit than if you made offerings to the numberless Buddhas, Dharma and Sangha. Even just a small gesture like offering shoes or a cup of water to the guru is more merit than offering to numberless statues, stupas and scriptures. So just offering your sincere heart, your service, your volunteer service, your service to a centre, your offering a practice of trying to put the guru's advice into practice, all of that's infinite merit. The other thing to remember that the blessings of the Buddha cannot be received without a guru. This we might find a bit shocking, but it's like expecting to be a good driver without an instructor. It's just not going to happen. Expecting to be able to be a fantastic opera singer or an incredible cook without the instruction of the guru. So one is that they show their skills, but the other is they inspire us. The benefit of correctly practicing guru devotion is that it liberates you from oceans of samsaric sufferings and brings you to enlightenment. And by pleasing the guru, your negative karma is burned up in a second. So there was one time when Lama Zopa Rinpoche did, he's come to this centre, this building once, and it was so wonderful because he came into our gompa and where the Buddha statue is, and there's the throne, you know, we're supposed to have the snow lions that hold up the throne. So the throne's, you know, wooden and we built it ourselves. And so I was trying to find where are the snow lions, and I found these plastic snow lions from Chinatown that were actually electric. And when you turn them on, they go, anyway, so I had these two plastic snow lions on either side. So Rinpoche came in and he looked at the snow lions and he just thought they were hysterically funny. And he was laughing so much that he actually like put his head onto the altar and doubled over and couldn't get up. And I thought he's going to fall over because he's just laughing. And I was thinking in my mind, I was thinking, we've made the guru happy. Yay! Even if it is with something silly like plastic snow lions, which are perfectly okay. But, you know, Rinpoche has a wonderful eccentric sense of humour, and Lungri Tumbasen is a little eccentric too. So I have a little poll to run now of which aspect of the guru most resonates with you. So I'll launch the poll, and if you can do the poll, great. And if you can't, I'll read them out for you. Nirmanakaya, the person of the guru, the kindness of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the sincerity of Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Sambhogakaya, who they really are, Chenrezig in person, Tara in person, always looking after us. Dharmakaya, the clarity of your own mind. Or another way to say that, the ultimate lama, the bare face of your innate mind. Or Santa, all good things are showered upon those who cultivate virtue. Or ultimate BFF, best friend forever, the very best friend, the spiritual friend that can lead us to enlightenment. So you can vote for whichever ones you want. You can do a couple of votes. That's okay. But it's just a way of remembering that the guru is so much more than the person. The person, the face of the guru, is the interface between us and Tara Chenrezig, us and the Dharmakaya, that innate purity of our mind. So I kind of, in my mind, I have this idea of of like Santa in robes. So instead of the red Santa suit, in the maroon suit with the smiling face of Rinpoche, with the Santa's hat, bringing all the presents, all good things, all the enjoyments from here all the way to enlightenment for ourselves and others, come from the Guru. Instead of riding like on a sleigh with reindeer, he's on a snow lion. So let's see, has everyone voted? Not yet. Got a couple more minutes. There's something else I can read too about Samanta Bhadra. Sounds a little similar to Santa, doesn't it? Is not subject to the limits of time or place or physical conditions. Samanta Bhadra is not a coloured being with two eyes and arms. Samanta Bhadra is the unity of awareness and emptiness, the unity of appearances and emptiness, the nature of mind, natural clarity with unceasing compassion. That is Samanta Bhadra from the very beginning. Always good. Like the Guru, always good. So let's see, what does the polling say? Aha, the big winner is Saboga Kaya, who they really are, Chenrezig in person or Tara in person, always looking after us. And closely followed by ultimate best friend forever, the very best friend. So I'm thrilled with that because if we can just remember that, we'll get the very most out of our relationship with the Guru. And then whether we get to see the Guru or speak to the Guru in person doesn't matter, because we still have a really strong relationship. And then you can have dreams about the Guru. The Guru will come to you in your dreams and bless you in your dreams. So when my mother was dying, Lama Zopa Rinpoche on the other side of the world, occasionally he would ring up and give us advice. But also what would happen was I'd have these dreams of Rinpoche sending me a fax, bit old-fashioned inner technology there, and in my dream the fax would be coming out and I'd be reading the fax and I'd have all the instructions and I'd make this really important determination in my dream to remember what the instructions were. Then I wake up and I write down the instructions and they'd be the instructions for the day. So it's kind of like I had a bit backward technology and the Guru just uses whatever to get through. And if it's just having a dream about a fax, great. I mean, a more realized person may have had the Guru actually appear to them directly, but, you know, I had to have outmoded technology to get to me. So don't worry, you'll be able to relate to the Guru just like that from your heart. And it's just like when we have someone wise in our mind, you know, what would my grandmother do or what would my friend do who's wise, and we hear their voice and they guide us and help us. That's what the Guru can do, whether we get to personally see them or not. And then, you know, when we do personally see the Guru, it might be like with the coach, they drive us hard. It might be hard work. We may not want to hang out with them because, oh boy, you know, or being with the maestro, the having a masterclass. You can't have a masterclass every day. You just have it when you can, and then you've got to go do all that work in the background to absorb it all. So I hope this has inspired you and filled in a few gaps, and that you've got this idea of how all good things come from the Guru and who the Guru is. So let's dedicate our efforts and our meeting together this morning for Dharma in Pyjamas to being able to meet the Guru, to meet a Guru in person in this life and in every single other life from now to enlightenment, to never be separated from the Guru, and to then be able to meet the inner Guru, the ultimate Guru, the bare face of our innate mind, and then bring all sentient beings to enlightenment. So thank you. Now, if you have questions or anything, we can turn on the videos and you can unmute yourself. And how are we going, everybody? Jane, good to see you. I remembered to run the poll. Right, well, I hope that's gonna inspire you for the rest of the week.